Amen. How good was Bridget's testimony? Amen. Be bold. Kia kaha. Am I right? No? Kia kaha. Be strong. Be bold. Be strong. Yeah. Kia kaha. Anyway, be bold. Be bold. Be bold. That's our theme for this year. That's our theme for us. It's not just a theme in the head, but I pray that we will be bold in Christ. Amen. It takes courage to be interviewed, your testimony. You know, Bridget said when she sat in front of the, not the computer, in camera, and she said, I didn't expect it, but she just broke down, you know. It's being bold. We live in a society where we say, suck it all in, keep it all in, don't be vulnerable. Vulnerability is seen as a weakness. Amen. But if you read the Word of God, vulnerability is not a sign of weakness. It's a sign of being authentic. Being bold starts with us being real with God. Being bold starts with us saying, God, I am broken. God, fix me. Being bold is saying, I know who I am. I belong to Jesus. Being bold comes not because of some mental willingness, but it is a Holy Spirit that makes us to be bold in who we are and what He's called us into. Amen. So being bold is our theme and for this year 2024. And I thought it would be great to start a series on Be Bold. And it's a 5-week series. And you'll see it on the slide up there of the titles. It's the first one today is Be Bold, is a bold influence, sorry. I'm going to talk today on bold influence. Is it on the slide? No? Okay. So I'll just read it then. The next one is bold identity. Bold identity. Today we're talking about bold influence. Next week it's bold identity. Third week we're talking on bold resolution. Fourth week we're going to talk about bold faith. Fifth week we're going to talk about bold in prayer. And we're going to read through the book of Daniel. We're going to look at the book of Daniel and how Daniel was bold in his time and his day. It took courage, it took conviction, it took faith to trust God in spite of adversities. Now Daniel was a man who was a Jew, and Daniel was taken captive by King Nebuchadnezzar, and he was taken from Jerusalem into exile, into Babylon, and Daniel and his three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that we know as, they were taken into captive, and in the midst of, it's like that movie, Behind the Enemy's Line? Yeah. You know, all the movie watchers can help me here. It's like you're not in your comfort zone. You're not in the God spot. You are in the devil spot. And while you're in the devil spot, all hell is breaking loose. Everyone is accusing you, calling you names, attacking your faith, and trying to put their worldly jargon and influence into you. And Daniel and his three friends were learning to be authentic in who they are in Christ and not backing down in their faith and their belief in their God called Yahweh. We're going to look through that today and this next few weeks and look at, we live in a city, not necessarily a city called Babylon, but it's like a Babylon today for us. Babylon talks about the world. Babylon talks about the spirit of the world. And we have a similar spirit today where the world is teaching us that you are not a guy, you're a girl. The world is teaching the girls, you're not a girl, you're a guy. The world is teaching a man to love a man and a woman to love a woman. When the Bible says it is a man and a woman, not Adam and Steve, it's Adam and Eve. Amen. I know some of you, oh, is this PC? No, I want to be JC, not PC. We live in a very confused world. We live in a very messed up world, and Babylon means confusion. It's another name for Babylon is confusion. And so Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego were still in the midst in this world, and yet they knew how to navigate this world with the help of Jesus, well, with the help of God. And we need to help navigate this world with the help of Jesus Christ and His Holy Spirit. Amen. You know, there are two schools of thought. One is go with the flow, fit in, compromise. Everyone is doing it. Being permissible, blend in. There's a school of thought. And this is what happened when they were moved from Jerusalem into Babylon. There were a few Jewish people who started to fit in to Babylon culture, who started to just go with the flow. You know, I believe there are a lot of us who goes with the flow and try to fit in and blend in. And, you know, I don't want to tell them because I don't want to upset them. It's okay. You know, you want to get drunk, honey, you get drunk. You want to be happy, you go get happy. You want to get tattoos everywhere, go get tattoos. Just do whatever pleases you. Just fit in. You want to sleep around, because everybody's sleeping around. Let me show you, a lot of people are not sleeping around. I'm also talking to the young people. I often say to the young people, today, young adults, young people, it's easy for them to be emotionally, it's easy for them to be physically naked than emotionally naked. Come on. I don't want to open up my heart to you, but I don't mind taking my clothes off because it's getting hot in here. That's the culture we're living in. I'm not attacking you. I'm talking about the culture. It's getting hot in here, so take off all your clothes. You know, it's easy to sleep with you for one night stand in a bus stand or a car stand. It's easy to sleep with. I'm happy to take my clothes off, but do not ask me to open my heart to you. Sex is for procreation, but we use it for recreation. Come on. We're living in this culture. And Daniel, I'm giving an introduction of this. And I know every mouth is shut and every ear is like, whoa, is he really going there? I'm going there. I'm going there. If we don't teach our children, grandparents, if you don't teach your children, who's going to teach them? Let me tell you who. The world. Parents, if you want to be soft on your kids, you want to be a friend. Parents, I want to tell you, you are never a friend. You are a father or a mother. You can be friendly, but you will never be a friend. My children don't like me many times. You ask them once, she's nodding her head. Lord, I pray you forgive her. She know not what she's doing right now. But when she becomes a parent, she will thank us. Because I have a responsibility. I know she's 16. I am not her friend. I am friendly with her, but I will always know I'm her father. I'm to lead her in godly ways. I'm to lead them and correct them and guide them and nurture them and bring them up in this world that is so messed up. Come on. In my house, we are so strict on no movies with F words. And they go, oh, mom, there's no movie we can watch then. Well, don't watch any then. But we aren't going to bring in F words into this house. We're not going to bring any S words into this house. We're not going to bring any D words into this house. Damn. We're not. Don't damn. Damn means it's eternal hell. You're damnating someone into hell. Damnation. And today people slip the word, oh, damn, Jesus Christ. We live in this world. I'm bringing you the world. I actually really wanted to bring some alcohol today too, but that's a bit too far. You know, and use that in the preaching illustration and get a few Hallelujah! Jesus is alive. Woo! It's the Spirit. So we live in this world that is go with the flow, go with the flow, go with the flow. And you know, we want to fit in, we want to blend in, we want to smell the same, we want to look the same, we want to feel the same. Well, the more you feel the same, you are getting unfamiliar to God. Because that's why he says, those who say, Lord, Lord, will not enter into the kingdom, but those who do the what? The will of the Father. Then there's another school of thought. I better keep moving. There's another school of thought. It's called going against the flow. It's like, ooh, I'm a child of God. You're all sinners and I'm the righteous one. I got it all together. You are a sinner. So, you know, remember those placards near abortion place, especially in America? Oh, you know, the placards, you will go to hell. You know, as they're driving into abortion place, you will go to hell. Or if you're a gay, you will go to hell. And it what we're saying is, even though it's truth, but how you say truth matters. Amen. And my 16-year-old reminds me that very well. She goes, Dad, the way you say it is what hurts, not what you say. Forgive her, Lord. It's her problem, Lord, not my problem. So we have another school. Oh, you can't drink, you can't touch that, you can't do this. There's this side of the school. So I believe there's these tensions in Jerusalem back in the day where Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and other people were taken. And this tension, some Jewish people started to fit in and go with the flow. Some have really kind of put their own community and have the same color shirt, same color pants, eat the same food, closed doors, and live in a community. You know which community I'm talking about? Gloryville. But you see, Jesus says, you're living this world, but you're not of this world. Come on. I had somebody ask me last week, where's your collar? I don't have a collar. Priest collar. I don't have a collar. I have a collar, but not a priest collar. Amen. It's not the way you look that makes you holy. Come on, somebody. You can wear white as white, but your heart is so black. I can show you a lot of white clothes people whose hearts are black. I'm talking about pastors now. Anyway, let's not go there. So Daniel, the third way to live is Daniel is teaching us how to live in this world but not of this world. How to be in this world and not be influenced by this world but be influenced by God. How to be in this world and be bold for Jesus and have a bold influence on this world. That we don't need to be sorry, but at the same time we don't need to pick a fight with everybody. We don't need to compromise. Oh, I want him to love me, so I'm going to show him my cleavage. No, don't. If you show your cleavage, all you get is people who love your cleavage. If you want to show your belly button, you think that's sexy. No, it's not. You know what's sexy? Is your godliness. Not your belly button. Not piercing your belly button, piercing your tongue, and piercing your ear. No. Oh, come on, guys. Nelukshan's going, yeah. If you attract people by your flesh, you will keep them for flesh. But if you attract them for God, hallelujah, you will keep them. No matter hell comes at you, you will be there because you know God is there with them. Because they'll come, gratify the flesh, they'll walk away, and when they want again, they'll come back again for your flesh. How long will you show your cleavage? At some point of time, it's not a cleavage anymore. I am talking the truth that the world is influencing our people. I got to show up here. I got to show up here. I got to show up here. I remember a few years ago, my daughter tried to wear a small top. So Brock and I lifted our tops up. And her friends were supposed to come home. And so I said, honey, you want to go out that way? I'll say hello to your friends with my belly button, with hair on my belly. Now, it's not written in the Bible, but the Bible does say, be wise as a serpent, innocent as a dove. I don't want to Bible bash her. I want to lead her. So there's this tension. And so Daniel is saying, look, we got to live our lives to influence people to God. We may look like them, we may eat like them, we may sleep like them, we may talk like them, but we are still not them. Why? Because we belong to God. Let's read Daniel chapter 1. We should read the word of God. Daniel chapter 1. I'm going to read a big scripture passages for you. I'm going to move on and I'm going to land this soon. Daniel chapter 1 verse 1. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave, look at that. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hands. It was God. It was God who allowed Nebuchadnezzar to take Jehoiakim and his people and take them into exile. So if you think you're in a difficult time, the Lord is putting you there. You feel, I'm not healed? Well, trust God. My marriage is broken? Trust God. Don't break it more. Pray that it will be fixed. Breaking it like Jonathan is always like this. Jonathan. I mean, we all agree it's Jonathan. But don't keep throwing more dung on him. I'm not using bad words here. Right, let's read it. Verse 3, it says, the king instructed Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, to bring some of children of Israel and some of the king's descendants and some of nobles, young men in whom there was no blemish, but looking good, gifted in all wisdom, possessing knowledge and quick to understanding, who had ability to serve in the king's palace and whom they might teach the language, the literature of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed for them a daily provision of the king's delicacies and of the wine which he drank, and 3 years of training for them, so that at the end of that time they might serve before the king. Nebuchadnezzar was a brilliant leader. He was a brilliant leader because he knew to pick the choice Jewish people, train them with education, worldly education. Can I just say our worldly education is messing people up? So many Christian kids grow up going to university, they don't follow God anymore. Because they go, wow, God's not real. Look at all these people. No, no, God is real. Daniel went through that. So, see, so we've got to learn to get into it. Okay, verse 18. Let me read verse 18. I'll get to that. Verse 18. Now at the end of the days, when the king had said that they should be brought in, the chief of the eunuchs brought them before Nebuchadnezzar. The king interviewed them, and among them none was found like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. That is Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore, they served before the king. In all matters of wisdom and understanding about which the king examined them. He found them 10 times better than all the magicians, astrologers who were in his realm. Thus, Daniel continued until the first year of King Cyrus. So, here is Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were chosen, the captive people. They were prisoners and now brought into the palace, and they were being equipped by Nebuchadnezzar's education, influence, wine and dine, some gourmet food, you know, to try to blend in, try to fit in. And that's what was happening. And I think sometimes for us, if I relate to us, you know, we might be in the city because we were born here, we were brought up here, we came here because of money or jobs or whatever. But God doesn't want us to just blend in and fit in. Amen. God doesn't want us to blend in and fit in. We may serve here, but God wants us to, you know, God wants us to be a contributor, not just consumer. God wants us to give, not just take. Amen. If you give, God will bless you, but I'm not talking about money, I'm talking about giving yourself. And I tell you what, when we have this perspective that God brought me here, God placed me here, our life gets so much better. So that the background that I'm giving you is Babylon. Babylon is also known as a sinful city. It's a wicked place. It's now in the modern day Iraq. And Revelation 17 verse 5 says Babylon is a great, Babylon the great, the mother of prostitutes and the abomination of the earth. So Babylon was known as the mother of all prostitutes. Babylon means confusion. The Jewish derogatively associated with a word called Baal, which means it's confusion. And I think even though that's the Old Testament, today we live in the spirit of Babylon, which is confusing us, which is confusing our people, confusing our families, you know, confusing us, because we go, God set a pattern, but we have placed our life so much on the career that we messed up in our relationships. So how does the spirit of, look at this, this is the spirit of Babylon. It has an agenda. And the agenda of this spirit of Babylon is to for us to deny our faith in Jesus Christ. Wherever you go, our faith is challenged. Wherever you go, our faith is challenged. And the spirit of Babylon is to make sure the agenda of the spirit of Babylon is that you and I Christians, if you are a born-again Christian, that our faith is weakened, that we deny Christ and live like the world. And I know there are so many people who don't pray, who don't read the Word of God, who don't want to follow God. They just want to cruise along because your faith is under attack. Is that Jesus? So how does the spirit of Babylon do this? It's our beliefs, our behavior, and our worldviews. Our beliefs. You may go to church. That's not the, that doesn't, going to church doesn't make you Christian. It just makes you a religious person, not a Christian. Christian means a follower of God, a disciple of God. Christian means somebody who knows to lay their life aside and pick up the cross and follow Jesus daily. Daniel 1, we see that Babylon has a clear strategy to influence Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah to take captive of these three friends, indoctrinate them with literature, humanistic ideology, change their names. We're going to get into that next week. Change their names. And a lot of our names are changed. You know, you get called different names if you've been through school. Some of you may still hold on to that, the names you got called. Offered them some good food, wine, and dine. But Daniel had to be bold in his influence. And being bold doesn't mean we have to be loud and wild. Being bold means wise and persuasive. We've got to be wise and persuasive. The question I have for us is, do we have a strategy, do we have a plan to be bold influencers? Do we have a strategy? Are you influencing people in your world? Are you bold to influence people in your world? And what kind of influence is that? What plan do we have? Because if we don't have a plan, let me tell you, the world will influence you. Silvana loves going to the art, what do you call them? Acting shows, productions, school productions. And this year they have a school production, goes to a Catholic school, has a school production called the Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, right? And so my wife and I said, no, we're not going to put her through this. And so we wrote to the principal, and the principal said, "Ah, it's okay," and tried to milk it and just kind of dilute the point. The queen of Priscilla, Priscilla, the queen of the desert, is about cross-dressing. And guys wearing dresses like women and walking around and all that stuff. And I'm telling you, it's in my house. Silvana loves, she's always done these cool productions. She loves, she lives for that. Apart, you know, also Jesus, but also for that. It's a big deal. And we said, "No, you can't do that." She goes, "Why can't I do that?" So we had this big discussion at home. And then she goes, "But Dad, I don't believe in it." We wrote to the school, we wrote to the board. They just don't want to have a bar of us. So we said, "That's okay, we're not going to send you." But she was upset. She goes, "But I don't believe in it." I said, "I know you don't believe in it, but then I opened Deuteronomy 5. It says if a man wears clothes as a woman, it's a sin against God." Now, some of you Christians go, "Really? Is that in the Bible?" Yes, it is in the Bible. Read your Bible. If you don't read your Bible, you don't know how to live for God. So when I showed her that, I said, "Honey, even though you're acting, you're not believing, but you're still participating." So we're still negotiating. We're talking to the principal still, but she wants to go. I said, no, I don't want to just say no. I want to make sure I teach you the word of God. Sometimes it's okay to be rejected for the sake of God. Come on. What do you really stand for? How is your influence? I love it. Daniel was bold. He had a strategy. His strategy was to have a relationship with God. He understood sometimes to be very effective, we got to be bold influences. Amen. Although Daniel was surrounded by the spirit of Babylon, inside him dwelled the spirit of God. John puts it in 1 John 4:4, "Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world." Daniel had a relationship with God. How cool is that? Daniel didn't just have education about God, he had a relationship with God. There are so many of us who have education about God. Just like Mary had a little lamb, Jesus loves me, this I know. No. We don't need education, we need relationship. I had education, I could quote scriptures till the age 14, but I never had a relationship with God. I could quote scriptures to get some pocket money, just like a parrot. If you grew up in Christian family, you know what I'm talking about? God so loved the world that he gave you only because whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Amen. Give me my money now. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things shall be added according to the riches and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Give me my money now. I was a fake and a phony. I had education about God, but no relationship with God. I'm asking you today, I know I'm pressing the point. How many of you find yourself having just education and no relationship with God? I'm talking to you today. How many of you are compromising, going, "Oh, it's my job. I have to, you know, otherwise I have to compromise." No, you don't need to compromise. You don't need to compromise. You will see it coming weeks, how Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, in the first chapter, man, everything was going well for them. Everything is going well for them. And my first point there, and I'll move quickly, but my first point is, don't let your blessing be your distraction. Don't let your blessing be your distraction. How many of us wants the job? As soon as you get the job, you forget God. How many of you want that man or the woman and go, "God, I will go to church for Jesus, but also for that guy. He looks at me. I will be more Christian before him." You know, I went to someone's house the other day, and apparently this guy, to impress his girlfriend, who is now wife, he was reading the Word of God, and she was so impressed. You know, we want to impress people. And when you get that wife, and when you get that husband, or when you get that job, when you get the car, you know, we don't go to church because, "Oh, I got to fix my house. Who gave you the house? Amen. Oh, I can't come to church because my kids, you know. Oh, we had a late night. Well, firstly, why did you have a late night? I'm telling you, don't, trust me, there are times socially we had to use our kids to get away. You know, they need to go home. Because, but in reality, the party's pretty boring. I just want to go home. You know, we've all done some excuses like that. Don't make your blessing a distraction. God, if you give me that wife, if you give me that job, if you give me that house, if you send me to New Zealand, whatever, we pray. As soon as some people, I know this is true, some people who come to this country, oh God, give me that job in that country. Can I get my residency, my citizenship? As soon as we get it, we forget God. I think I am talking today. I think I'm really making sense today. I don't want to just tickle your ears. I don't want to keep you. I want to grow you. My heart is to grow you, and we are being deceived by the devil, and we allow ourselves to be deceived. I'm saying, wake up. Wake up. Please. Because I'm Kiwi, you have to say please and thank you after every sentence. Please. But I'm going, if I just Indian, hey, uta means get up, wake up. There's no please, thank you. Just get up, shut up, get up. Don't talk to me. I am your father. Shut up, get out. There's no please. Anyway, my children says, Dad, you didn't say please. Shut up. At least I am not clipping around here. What are you talking about? Come to India. In chapter 2, very quickly, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's blessing turned quite sour. Their influence on Babylon, they were bold and they took some risks because they were introduced to rejection, danger, and death threats. I want to say this. I'll say this again and again and again. Sin doesn't leap on you, it creeps on you. I will say it again. Sin does not leap on you. It doesn't come and just sit on you like that. It creeps on you. Have you heard people say, oh man, she fell. He fell. That means they committed adultery. You know, he fell, she fell. How can you just, what? You just went and you fell? And you go, oh, I fell on you, let's have sex. I wish my wife was here. I can't do that to you, Clara. Even though you have an L in your name, Clara, Cara, I can't do that to you. It's too much. By the way, I am still a pastor. He's saying they got the point. I also want to say he just celebrated his first wedding anniversary yesterday. To that beautiful girl there. This is all in the part of illustration. Improvising it. You don't just fall on another woman that is not your wife. You don't just fall into another guy's lap because you happen to look at him and then go, oh man, I'm so sorry, I fell on you. Oh, while I'm there, we might as well. This is not a haircut we're talking about. Like, hey, we're in the mall, let's get a haircut. We don't just fall. While you're working on your computer, the screen doesn't come at you like that. Sin creeps on us, doesn't leap on us. A lot of people preach you to keep you. I don't want to do that. It creeps in your mind when you look at a woman, you go, oh, I shouldn't look at her that way. But you look again. And you go, oh, I don't want to do, oh, you look again. And then you start looking down. No, he's getting nervous now. You've already committed adultery with her in your mind. And that's what the Bible says. I'm not saying this. This is not just for young people. Trust me, there are married men who are bored in the marriage that are watching pornography and having sex outside the marriage. Because your wife's boring? Well, get real. If she's boring, you made her boring. Because God gave her to you. Anyway, I'll finish this. I'll get there later. Okay, Daniel 2:10. Okay, I'll move on. The Chaldeans, who are the astrologers. Because what happened here, back, just quick story, and I'll conclude, is Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. This is his challenge in chapter 2. He says, hey, Nelunika, I had a dream. Not like Martin Luther King. Oh, I have a dream. No. Nebuchadnezzar says, I have a dream, Nelunika. I want you to tell me what the dream is about and interpret for me. He's like, excuse me? You had a dream. You should tell me. But Nebuchadnezzar says, no, you tell me my dream. So this is the challenge here. Let's pick it up, verse 10 of chapter 2. Okay, and the Chaldeans, astrologers, the answers the king, there is not a man on earth who can tell you the king's, what, tell the king's matter. Therefore, no king, lord, or ruler has ever asked such things of any magicians, astrologers, or Chaldeans. It is a difficult thing that the king requests. There is no other who can tell it to the king except God, whose dwelling is not with flesh. But listen to Daniel here. When Arioch, the commander of the king's guard, came to kill them, Daniel handled the situation with wisdom and discretion. And Daniel went to his house and made the decision known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they might seek the mercies of God of heaven concerning this secret, so that Daniel, his companions, might not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. The secret was revealed to Daniel in a night vision, so Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Verse 24, therefore Daniel went to Arioch, whom the king had appointed to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and said thus to him, do not destroy the wise men of Babylon. Take me before the king. What a bold statement. Take me before the king, because I have an answer for the king. Because why? I prayed. And I sought God. Take me before the king. Look at the bold influence there. And I'll read you, can I leave you that for you to read at home, chapter 1 and chapter 2, at home. But this is my second point, and I'm going to close. Just because it's logical doesn't make it biblical. Just because it's logical doesn't make it biblical. Just because it's logical doesn't make it biblical. Don't deceive yourself. Don't deceive yourself. We got to be bold like Daniel and say, no, I disagree with that. Thank you very much, but I disagree with that. You may lose your job, but can you have faith in God? Let me tell you, we will come to that time in this nation and every nation that you will lose your job because of your faith. You will be ostracized because of your faith. And that's what happened to these guys, but they stood. And they stood there and they didn't just make a logical. You know what logic looks like today? Fair enough. Fair enough. Oh, it's only one glass. Oh, he only slept with her once. You get what I'm saying? Ah, she only slept with him once. It's okay, you know? No, I'm not saying you go beat them with a baseball bat. But what I'm trying to say is just because it's logical doesn't make it biblical. Yes, my children were tired. I had every reason not to come. Do you know there were 2 years that Leo did not sleep? I used to stay up every night and I come here and preach. I didn't sleep even a second. I can tell you that now because I'm sleeping well. But back then, I would stay up with him all night and then come and preach and bring all my 3 kids and 1 wife. And that is my wife, not your wife. For 24 months, I did that. 24 months. And I kid you not, the previous elders got me up here and they prayed for me. I did not lose my head. Why? I trust God. If God put me in that fire, he will give me fireproof blanket. If God's pouring the rain on me, he will give me a good raincoat. I trust in God who never fails. He never fails. If you're going through troubles, he will never fail. He will never fail. I'm chopping off a lot of things, that's okay. But I want to conclude this morning and I want to say this. Today you can be bold. Today you can be bold. You have a choice to be bold. You have a choice to influence. And I was reading this, you know, you have a choice to be bold in your family, to be a bold, godly influencer in your family. You have a choice to be a bold, godly influencer as in your education institution, whether you're a teacher, admin person, you're a student, where you're principal, you have a choice and you can influence by your faith. You have a choice in your business to be a bold influencer. Amen. You have a choice. Don't put your job before God. You're all quiet, I know, but I'm stirring us today to be bold. Don't put your business, your job, your work before God. You can influence people in government and in politics. You can influence people in arts, entertainment, and sport. Amen. And I'm really thrilled about this with Shannon. Shannon blatantly puts on his Instagram page, which is his business page as a personal trainer, Bible verses. And when I look at it, I'm like, ooh, that's awesome. But I'm just telling you, he's not just using social media, but he actually does speak the word of God. To a point, I heard, I won't name names, but somebody said, back off, Shannon. Enough word. Back off. But at least I like his enthusiasm. He's not afraid to be rejected. He's not afraid to be pushed back. We give so many reasons, you know, oh, my job, my policy and all that. I trust in God. We come here and we sing it and we go out and we don't trust God. I think I'm preaching good. Not for me, but I'm saying this to us. Do you know, it's easy to have children, but I challenge you, raise your children in godly ways. Don't just talk to them, inspire them with your lifestyle. Follow God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And I'm asking you today, would you be bold to say, God, I want to influence people for your glory? Would you be bold to say, God, too long I have focused on my insecurity? And I want to say, insecurity is not the respecter of age. Insecurity doesn't consult your age. Oh, you're in your 20s? Oh, I don't want to come upon you. No. I know people in their 80s who are insecure, just as an 80-year-old. And I'm encouraging you today, you have a choice to be bold and influence people for the glory of God. Would you stand with me, please? You have a choice today. Do you want to be bold? Do you want to have a bold influence? A bold influence. You have an opportunity. God has given you that job as a platform for you to reflect the glory of God. Amen. God has given you those children not to use them as an excuse, that wife not to use her as an excuse, that marriage not to use it as an excuse, but it's a platform to glorify Jesus. As they sing today, I do want to say, by faith, would you be bold? If you say, yes, I want to be bold for Jesus, I want to have a bold influence, if that is you, why don't you come forward? We want to just pray a blessing over you. We want to impart that anointing over you, that you will go out there. Yes, it will be challenging. Yes, you will be tested. Yes, you will be pushed aside. Yes, you will be pushed to the corner. Yes, you will be misunderstood. Yes, you will be persecuted. Yes, you will be rejected. Yes, you will be pushed down, but you are never destroyed because God is with you. So as we sing this chorus, do you want to come forward? Our pastoral team, if you can come up. Guys, we want to lay hands on you. We want to release that boldness, that faith that comes by God, but also laying on of hands. The Bible says, we pray that the Spirit of God will come upon you and bold. You will be bold. You've been fearful too long. And if you've been fearful too long and your voice gets choked before you talk about God, I pray today that you will have a breakthrough in the name of Jesus. So would you come forward? I want the worship team, come on. Not the worship team, the pastoral team. Would you lay hands and pray a boldness? Boldness in the name of Jesus. The rest of us, why don't we worship Jesus? I pray in the name of Jesus that spirit of fear will be broken. Spirit of deception, in the name of Jesus. Spirit of deception, we rebuke you, we destroy you, we break you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We pray that you, Lord,